Chris.
Marcus.
We are back, guys. It's a little pocket awareness, right? You guys already know what to do to find us. Well, make sure you hit the subscribe button first. Subscribe to the TDL channel. Make sure you do that. Also follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Same on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. And also follow me and Chris at the Mark John NFL for me, at King Manelos for Chris. I can't believe I landed that, Chris. Man, it's been a while, man.
For us not being able to do it in a while, and finally getting our stuff running up again. Very, very proud of you, dude.
I landed that, man. I was like, man. All right, but we're back, guys. We got a quarterback show. For Raiders fans, there's not a lot of options for us to talk about here. We already know what we're going to do. But we're going to get into that. We're going to get Chris's thoughts on some of these things, right? You know, you've been hearing my thoughts on this. Maybe get some outside thoughts on some of this and talk about, like, a little bit Kirk Cousins and what's going on with that. And also where the quarterbacks have gone this offseason, right?
We have some movement, Marcus. There's something I got to give you some grief about here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We are back, guys. So, Chris, how you feeling, man?
Dude, I'm pumped, man. I'm back in Arizona. We got a new location to do it from. We're all settled in. I think we can get ourselves into a nice little rhythm, have a good off season, and really get this ball rolling going into the regular season.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? We get these quarterbacks stuff just, you know, weekly, and, you know, getting into these people and talk about what's happening with around the league with quarterbacks, man. You know, I mean, it's always fun doing this. So I really like doing this show. So happy that we're back doing this. But, you know, this is the most boring quarterback draft for us to come back on. Let's keep it real.
That the truth? That is the absolute truth. What a nightmare this draft class is for quarterbacks.
It's just not a lot of standouts. Let's say that, you know, the standout that is there, you know, the Raiders are taken. So, I mean,
there's not a lot of drama here, Marcus. We're going number one with you guys, and you're going to take the only quarterback that has a potential ceiling.
Yeah. I mean, it depends who you ask, man. Talk to Dan Orlovsky.
Well, listen, Dan's upset because he's got a poor quarterback class to talk about. So he's trying to drum up a little bit of controversy. So we got something to say. What else is he going to do? He's not going to be on the set on ESPN for anything else.
Yeah, I really feel like ESPN like took him to the back room and were like, okay, Dan, you're going to be the Ty Simpson guy this year. He's like, really? Yeah. You're going to be – we need an antagonist here, right? Mendoza, this isn't going to work for Get Up. Right, we just talk Mendoza like he's great, and there's no chance. We want you, and it puts some, you know, some valid points to it because you're a former quarterback. People are gonna know that you assume that you just grind film all day, right? You're gonna be the Ty Simpson guy. Okay,
all the credibility that you've built up over the course of the last 3-4 drafts, and how you've done a great job of analyzing these quarterbacks. We're going to make you pick who we think could be a first-round quarterback. And he's like, guys, this isn't a first-round quarterback. We need you to make them believe he's a first-round quarterback.
And stick to it. Do not budge.
You cannot waver.
Don't budge. I really feel like that's the approach of him.
You're going to take Mendoza at one. You got to find a weakness in Mendoza. You got to make it so people want to see the first pick.
I know, and he's just like making it up. You know, it was so funny. He posted this clip of Mendoza like checking down against Oregon or something like that, and I put it on Twitter. I was like, bro, that's what I want him to do. I wish Mendoza would check down more. That is one of my problems with him. And you're talking about that. That's his main. He plays it safe. I'm like,
dude, played as much hero ball as possible in those playoffs.
I don't know.
And he's gonna be mad at a check down. Dan's the one that wants Dan, just like you. Dan wants them to be checking down.
Yeah.
He wants to see them go through the progression, make all the reads, stand there in the pocket, nice and stoic, find the check down.
Yeah, man. Like, he's NFL quarterback. What are we talking about here? Why are you getting on?
It's not him. I totally agree with you. ESPN took him to the back room and they wanted him to stir the pot. That's what they wanted.
Just keep this going.
That's what they wanted.
What else to talk about? Because it worked. It's worked. It's got me. You know what I'm saying? It's annoying me. So it's worked. The rage bait has worked. It's a smart guy, whoever that marketing guy at ESPN is. Tell you that. All right. So, I mean, I guess we can start a little bit with the quarterback free agent spots. I mean, Raiders.
You got your veteran quarterback to be there, ready to go, to bring your rookie along. Are they the same? Like, is Mendoza Cousins 2.0? Like, do they're the same guy, right?
From, I would say maybe from like I'm not even gonna say arm talent. I think Mendoza's arm's a little bit better.
But as far as temperament goes.
Yeah, temperament and like kind of the same way that way. But I think Mendoza is a better athlete and he's bigger too. And, you know, he just has a bigger arm. People don't like my comp for Mendoza. So, I get yelled at about that all the time.
Say it here.
What?
Say it here.
It's Ryan Tannehill. I get killed.
No kidding.
Yeah, because I mean, Tannehill's smaller now, because now he's like 6'5", 240. I'm like, well, that kind of changed that comp. You know, when he was – I thought he was like 6'5", 220. It made him a little more sense. But, like, that comp kind of went away now that he's 6'5", 240. Now it's like, ooh, man, who is he? You know, I mean, somebody said Carson Palmer. I'm like, well, the arm's not Carson Palmer. Definitely not that.
How do you feel about an Andrew Luck comp?
That is a good one, but people just like, since Andrew Luck was such a freakish prospect to people. But I do like that comp. I mean, even the Joe Burrow one, I like the Joe Burrow one a little bit too.
Really?
Just because I mean, you look at him at prospects, like Burrow, he was more of that pocket passer processing quarterback. He wasn't really that, I would say, like not a that dominant. Yeah, he's not like the, you know, big armed type of guy. You know, Burrow is like a more of a touch passer. He didn't have the huge, biggest arm in the world, and still doesn't. You know, at this point in time, he does make some big throws out here and there, but like he doesn't have a howitzer. You know, I mean, he's not Matthew Stafford or nothing. You know what I mean? Like he's not like that typical number one pick. And I think that's what the comparison is. You know, of course you get to the stats, and you know, Burrow had Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. I mean, he had two top five NFL receivers. I mean, this is totally different type of, you know, like both those guys are like, when you stack up your top receivers in the NFL, like right now, you're putting Jefferson and Jamar Chase in there. He had both those guys on the same team against college corners. So, yeah, he's going to put up some offense there. I mean, they're stacked on the LSU team, but, you know, people don't like that comp, but like it feels more like that because it's just the way that they play is very similar.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I can't fight you on that one.
See, but the thing is with Cousins though is his arm is absolutely dead. Definitely a dead arm. Like I just you know, watching his film, I watched a lot of his Falcons film, and like, man, I can't believe how dead his arm is. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
How old is he now?
I think he's 38.
So he's like a real 38-year-old quarterback, not like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, like all these all-pro, first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And now you get a real 38-year-old quarterback to come through at the age of 38, and the arm is gone.
Yeah, it's sad. It's kind of sad because it's just a 15-yard out, Chris. Like, you know, 10 yards, and he gets some zip on it. Like, it's like, okay, all right, there it is. The 15-yard out, man, that ball just dies.
Hey, man, that's got to go a long way. That's got to go a long way. And you know he can't – if he puts it on that inside shoulder, it's going the other way.
Oh, it just dies, man. There's like a lot of guys making these little catches, like, or just like doesn't even get there at all. But if he gets rid of the ball so early that he was hitting Kyle Pitts on deep routes all the time though, and you know he basically got Pitts a contract, and he played. No, and the Falcons were winning when he played. They went like 5-3. They were winning games, so I think the Kubiak can do something with him. It's just, you know, it's just he can't move either, so he fumbles a lot. He doesn't move, and you know he's always Kirk Cousins. You know Kirk Cousins act like doesn't realize when pressure's coming, the pocket's collapsing. You know he's always been like that. And now it's even worse that he can't move at all. He can't get even. And if the pocket's collapsing, the ball is really fading. It's really dying. So That's what is going to come up, and that's why Mendoza's going to have to step in eventually. Because
that was my next question. How long do we go until we see Mendoza come in? I think he's coming in year one.
You know, I still think there's a chance maybe Mendoza just beats him out altogether. There's just a chance.
Altogether? You think he comes in week one?
There's a chance. If he has a good preseason, great training camp, and he makes it seem like, and they feel like he's ready, I think they're going to go with him right away, right? Wow. If they don't feel like he is ready, I think Cousins is – I don't think he gets past six games.
Oh, I was going to say like week three, week four.
You know what I'm saying? I was going to go there, but I think that he might have some good moments where they start off like 2-2 or something like that. And then, like, if it gets to, like, 2-4, then they're like, ah, you know what I mean? And he's getting, you know, sacked and fumbling because he doesn't – I swear, like, I watched three games, and I think he fumbled, like, all in every single one of them. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can't move either. So, like, it's just an overall problem for him because it's Achilles and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you could do something with him. You can make it happen, in my opinion, a little bit. It's just – it won't last long, and the Raiders aren't. The Raiders don't have like the Falcons defense like they had last year. They don't have like the overall weapons that he had last year too. You know, they hope a lot of those guys develop, and you know, they hope Genty becomes Bijan. They have Brock Bowers, you know, but they don't have like a Drake London type of guy either. So we'll see how that goes, though. But yeah, I mean, they could do something with it.
What are you guys gonna do after Mendoza? Clearly, he needs some help on the offensive line and a Drake London type wide receiver.
Yeah, but I hope they go defense because they drafted wide receivers last year, so I don't know, man. O-line too. I think they might look at the O-line, but they also hated Brennan Carroll. So I think you know how coaches are, Chris. They're like, oh, I could do something with these guys. There's some good. I don't know, man. The coach last year, if I just get his hands more inside here, I just get off. You know what I'm saying? I think they're looking at the offensive line like that because there is some talent over there. It's young talent. It's just they couldn't put it together last year. But like these guys might be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like maybe I could do this. Maybe man, he can't move. I see the movement there. I just O-line coach convinced himself, and we'll see how this goes, man. I don't know, but I hope they go defense. If you're asking me that question for the Raiders, but. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's a new era. I'm in a new era, Chris. I'm refreshed. I'm like, I got a quarterback. You know, you haven't had a non-quarterback since 1992. So I don't know your whole life.
Hey, you haven't had. Don't forget about the Magic Man.
Yeah, but
Don held his own for a little bit. But you're right. You know, three Hall of Famers in a row is pretty great.
Three. Wait. I need you to back up.
He'll get there. Hey, you got. If I don't hear his name inside your top 10 this next season, we're gonna get into a real big fight.
Yeah. Back it up. Back up. What do you say?
He's like gonna be in your top 10, and then he's gonna keep getting further and closer to number one. Over the course of the next 10 more, you got 10 more seasons in there, easy.
Yeah. I think he's going to last a while, but, you know, Hall of Fame, man. I mean, I don't know. It's a little stressful. You got to win some Super Bowls, man. You got to win some bowls. You got to win a little some bowls.
All you got to do in Green Bay is win one.
Yeah.
All you got to do in Green Bay is win one, and then you're a lock. there's no other reason, you know. The talent throwing the ball doesn't have to continue all the way through his career or anything. So
yeah. I mean, hey, you know, I mean, Favre and Rodgers played a long ass time. I mean, Rodgers is still playing. He's gonna
be back in Pittsburgh. He's doing his typical off season where he hems and haws, and you got McCarthy back there. You got a lot of the other. McCarthy's bringing in some of the old dogs coaching from the old Green Bay days. Make sure Rodgers comes back and plays another season.
Yeah, man. He just, you know, just got to get Alan Lazard. And then
it wouldn't surprise me. They got to do something across DK.
Yeah. I think they'll do something in the draft. I think they'll draft like Mekhi Lemon or something like that. The Steelers. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers is just, he's just out there just chilling. He's just having a good time. Just, you know, probably, you know.
He's having a good offseason now. Let the man do what he's going to do. He plays the same game every year, just like old Favre did.
Yeah, he's probably in like Indonesia or something right now. He's
with his secret wife.
That nobody's seen.
That he's walking around with that ring on.
Oh, little Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's hilarious, man. That he's gonna be just with the Steelers. Back with Mike, man. Back with Mike. Look, what is it gonna be like? What do you think? I don't know if they hated each other at the end. I guess they kind of did.
So they never. They didn't. I think the narrative in the media was that they didn't like each other. I heard, and I think it was in an interview that he did, that every time that McCarthy came into Green Bay when the Packers played the Cowboys, they were like having dinner together every single time. Like they're always talking and hanging out. So I don't think there's any bad blood there. I think they've always enjoyed each other.
Yeah, I think they're just went together too long. One of those things.
Yeah, now they got a little time apart. Now it's they're loving on each other again, and they'll have at least one season together in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, the 2027 quarterback class is great. But that's what I heard last year about the 2026.
Dude, they've been saying that about the entire class. Like, everybody's talking up how big and great the entire draft class of 27 is going to be.
That's what they said this year, man. Like, Cade Klubnik, man. And Klubnik shit the bed. And then, you know, Sellers didn't have the season he wanted to have. And then, you know, the dude from Cincinnati, he's pretty good, but I don't know how much he's an actual first round pick.
Didn't he left Cincinnati, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he went to LSU.
He's Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, yeah. Yeah, Sam Leavitt.
And then our ex-boyfriend Sam is now at LSU. He's on the Jaden Daniels program.
Yeah, good riddance.
Good riddance is right. Dude, I'll put that tinfoil hat on. I think Dillingham said, you're gone. You're going to play basketball during the season and get yourself hurt. You're not meant for this program anymore. You're gone, bud.
Just terrible film, too, man. He's watching George Tye. It pisses me off even more when I break down ASU players. Like breaking down Yehendichor and breaking down Tyson this year.
Well, Tyson, he babbles, man. I like that kid a lot. Somebody's going to get a steal with him in the first round.
Yeah. But still, man, I'm waving bye-bye to you, Sam. Enjoy Louisiana, sir.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I like what's that kid's name? Cutter? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in the four-star QB. Looks like he's having a good spring, some good spring games or spring practices.
Yeah, anything other than Sam Leavitt, we're good.
Man. I'm excited about ASU football in the fall.
Yeah, but you know, 2027 quarterback class is Arch. It's about Arch Manning. Let's talk about it. That's really what it is. That's why the whole buzz. Honestly, like, I think Arch Manning's gonna go one. I think if the Raiders were picking, this could bother some people, but I think they probably would have went Arch Manning too, just because he is like probably one of the most talented quarterbacks I've seen in a long time. Because he just, but it. It's and that's talent, but it's the processing and the accuracy is totally different.
It's taking them a minute to figure it out.
Yeah, it would be something. You know what I'm saying? That would be a discussion, especially with how that would go, and just because the name, I feel like somebody would lean that way because he's a Manning, right? And that's, but his film this year is just. Is like up and down. Like one game, he looks like he's incredible, and then another game, he has terrible feet and he can't hit a, you know, anything. He's overthrowing an out route by 10 yards. Like he's erratic. So it's like, but I think everybody's gonna overlook that. They're gonna overlook it. Who cares? Like, yeah, sure. But man, did you see that one throw right here? You know that's
says Manning. We do not care.
We don't care. You don't care. But he is like it's really no joke. He's probably one of the most, because he's fast as hell too, and like he has a cannon, and he's just one of the most, and he has the size. He's just one of the most talented quarterbacks you'll see in a minute, and that's gonna be the whole thing about his class. So it doesn't matter if some teams figure to tank for him. I can already see it, especially if he has a big year.
If Texas, let's talk about your ex quarterback there, Geno, going all the way back to New York.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
interesting move over there. Do you think he's got anything left in the tank, or did he lay an egg, and he's always going to lay an egg moving forward? Now, is he a two year wonder?
I think what happened with Geno Smith this past year, and I talk about this, is like he lost his accuracy. I think the when he's in Seattle, he's probably the most accurate quarterback in football, just like everywhere, every level. But like this year, he was inaccurate, like crazy. And it looked like, you know, Geno and the Jets. So I don't know if that's just the downside of it. And a little bit has to do with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was a big issue. Like, Chip Kelly sucked really bad. And I think that has gotten to Geno's mind. And he's such a head case. That's Geno's problem.
Oh, Geno
is a head case. He can't handle his emotions. And as a quarterback, it's bad because if he starts throwing picks, it just becomes a spiral. Like it's if he's throwing one pick and it's in the first quarter, definitely expect another one. There's another one coming. Like it's if you get to the fourth quarter, you throw an interception, then maybe you're like, okay, we can get out of here. But if it's in the first quarter, oh, we might have three. We're having three tonight. That's Geno's problem. And then he's on the Jets and then the New York media. He couldn't handle the Raiders fans. He couldn't handle us. Man, his brother was in our chat.
Going back to New York, I'm surprised he's going to put himself through that again.
I don't think they traded him there. I don't know if he had a choice.
Did he get traded? I thought he was a free agent.
No, they're
traded. That's right. They traded him for a sixth-round pick. That's right. Yeah, he didn't have a choice. Oh, man. Well, Arch, see you in New York next year, bud.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And he has Frank Reich as his offensive coordinator. I don't think it's gonna work. He's just a head case. He's just a little bit of a head case. But I'm still calling my shot on this, and I'm sticking with this. And we talked about earlier with Dan Orlovsky that the Jets are taking Simpson at 16. That is gonna be my thing. I'm sticking with it. The Jets are taking Ty Simpson at 16, and that's my
literally
bold prediction.
No reason for another quarterback to be picked in the first round this year. Zero reason.
That is my bold prediction of this draft is that Ty Simpson goes to 16.
Please don't do that. We cannot have that. I want some normal scouting done. I want some normal GMing done. Like, there's only one team that I think can really screw up this draft, and that's Minnesota, because don't they have an interim GM?
Yes, yes, they do.
And they're going to screw it up because now Minnesota has brought another head case into their land with Kyler. I got to do everything I can for one season, Murray, to extend my NFL career. That contract, Marcus, he got that do not tag me in his contract so that he can put a year together of just above mediocre and see I'm not just some flash in the pan. To get another contract so that he can shit the bed for the rest of his career.
You know, I feel bad for JJ McCarthy. I do. I really do. Because the Raiders signed Jalen Naylor. And so I watched some McCarthy film. You know, I got to watch a lot of McCarthy, JJ McCarthy. And I just don't think he was that bad that he shouldn't get another chance to start, right? I think that they are. And I think Kevin O'Connell's in control. I think you talk about the interim GM. Kevin O'Connell's a GM. Let's keep it real. If you don't have a GM, the coach is. what is the interim GM be like? Tell the coach, like, no, we're doing this. Like Kevin O'Connell's like, no, I like that guy. We're taking him. Kevin O'Connell's a GM. Let's keep it real. But that's the only reason that you bring in Kevin McCarthy, JJ McCarthy. And I think that's the back and forth is O'Connell did not want McCarthy, maybe. I know there's some videos.
I don't think he wanted him at all. That was another kid that I didn't think should have been a first-round pick.
No, man. You know, you don't draft quarterbacks under 1,000 draftbacks. That's the rule. And you're seeing that JJ did not have that, and that's what JJ looks like. And the thing is that he didn't play that bad where – I think that you get rid of him. He wasn't as worse as Bryce. I mean, Bryce Young was worse than him year one. And, you know, Bryce Young had to be benched year two. But I think JJ has some bad situations there. But I think there were some good throws that he had here and there. You can see his NFL arm. And I just think that he's just a game manager, right? That's really what it is.
You can't put it on his back.
He's a Jim Harbaugh quarterback. That's really what he is.
He's a Kirk Cousins.
Not even that. No, he's a Jim Harbaugh quarterback. He's like Alex Smith. The occasional run. You know, you make sure you don't throw any interceptions. Maybe you throw 17 touchdowns. But you run the ball. You play defense. and JJ's a leader, right? I mean, that's what he is. He's like an Alex Smith. He's like that type of guy, right?
Okay.
I
think okay.
But when you have a Justin Jefferson, you can't have Alex Smith.
No. No. Yeah, but that's Miami football.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what Jim Harbaugh wants. Jim Harbaugh wants the JJ. He's trying to turn Justin Herbert into JJ McCarthy. That's the tough. I run the ball and we don't throw the ball. We don't turn the ball over. You know what I mean? Like that's that JJ McCarthy guy. But you know, Kyler going over there. I mean, Kyler's going to start. Obviously, he's going to play. Right. And I think.
Well, Kyler's they said it's going to be a battle for whoever can win it.
I guess it's Kyler's.
But I don't think you pay Kyler to come in there and battle. I think that's his job. To like, he would really it's have to easy. Blow it.
I mean, Kyler is still a top 20 quarterback. Okay, Chris. Like, whether you want to put whatever you want to slice it, he is a top 20. He is a top 20 guy. He is.
So is your guy Tua.
Okay, but I mean, yeah, they're still top. So that's what I'm saying. That's why Michael Penix is gonna get beat up too. He's losing two or two. Michael Penix ain't starting, bro. I'm sorry. Like you can just see what Kirk Cousins did with that team. I'll tell you, Kirk Cousins could not throw the ball more than 15 yards, Chris. And he had that team. He put up some good games. The Bucks game, that will sell you on Kirk Cousins. But is Michael Penix having that type of game? I don't know. So that's you know, it's up for Penix too. So it's kind of the same thing. You bring those top 20 guys. I mean, they are top 20 quarterbacks. I mean, you can't I can flip it or slice it how I want to. But Kyler Murray, he can be that guy. And if Kevin O'Connell, who I think is one of the best play callers in the league, I think he can maybe get him to top 15 maybe. And that's probably what O'Connell is thinking because he has the weapons outside. So we'll see what he could do with Kyler. But, you know, Kyler's Kyler at this point.
Kyler's going to throw the jump. He misses a guy to throw the jump ball to. So he's going to be happy to have J.J. Justin Jefferson out there so that he could throw him those jump balls and, you know, just scramble around and go, oh, yeah, catch you.
You know,
Kyler's going to get 3,000-plus yards. He's going to throw for more than 20 touchdowns. He's going to earn a four-year deal, and then he's going to be the Kyler Murray that we saw the last two, 3 years in Arizona, which was just garbage.
Yeah, I think – You see, I disagree with that he's garbage. Though. I think he's still top 20 level player, quarterback. I just think that he is – I think he's a little bit of a head case too. I think he's a little bit of a head case.
Where, oh, he's a big-time head case guy. Where, like, absolutely.
If it starts to tumble, he's tumbling. It's not – like he just can't throw that interception and get over it, right? He
agreed.
Just gets too much in his head. And I think that's big thing with quarterbacks, man. You got to let that shit go. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like Mendoza so much because – Those throws a pick, and then he goes right down the field and wins the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's you know, Geno Smith and Kyler Murray, they throw a pick. It's the next drive, or they're throwing another one. You know what I mean? It's a head case thing. But, you know, we wrap this up with Tua, and then they get to draft. Tua is in the Falcons, right? Because I don't think there's any other.
Tua's in the Falcons, and I'm never going to let you live it down for saying Tua was a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to let anybody who was in those comments giving me hell for the reaction that I've had of being so amazed that you would put Tua over Rodgers. I'm not going to let them forget that either.
It was film. It's a film-based countdown, Chris. It's film-based.
Okay.
Well, you didn't have that good a film as Jets. I'm sure it's better this year against the Steelers. I'm sure it is. But, you know, even my boy Steelers DB on Twitter, Derek, he used to get frustrated with Rodgers because he plays now.
He
used to get
frustrated with Rodgers because he would hold the ball for forever. And he was doing it again in Pittsburgh a few games this year too. But I get the frustration for Rodgers because he's trying to make the extra play. You can't say the same thing about Tua. If he doesn't get the ball out immediately, it's game over every single time for Tua.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Every single time. Rodgers, he can get the ball out right away. He can get the ball out later than right away, too. You can never, ever put Tua over Rodgers again. I just can't let you do it.
I just think he had a little bit better film than Rodgers. That's all it is, Chris, all right? So, but I understand your plight with that. But now he's on the Falcons. He's got some weapons around. He's got a running game.
Now he's on the Falcons. What a mess, man.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does with Stefanski's offense. But that's going to be the interesting part.
I'm really interested to see how he's going to play in the next offense. But, I mean, that ball better – he better be doing a lot of this. Turn around. and hand that ball off.
I think that
you better be doing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of play action. A lot of play action. A
lot of handing the ball off. A lot of play action. He better dump that ball off to Kyle Pitts now that he's got a brand new deal. And then occasionally he can send one out there to London because they'll get the safety to bite up.
Yeah. All right. I know these free agents, man. We know everybody wants to talk about. We'll talk about the draft. Quarterbacks of the draft, of course, Mendoza is
what the number one. What a horrible draft class we got here.
Which was supposed to be here. I'm telling you, this was supposed to be the year. I mean, a lot of those guys went back, but still, this was supposed to be, you know. And Mendoza had first-round buzz before the season started. So I see a lot of people see about Mendoza. A lot of people thought he was going to be a first-round guy before the season started. but, Chris, what are your thoughts on Mendoza? What were your thoughts?
I was really down on him all year long. Like, I did not buy the Indiana hype. And then when we got to the college football playoff, actually it was when they played against Illinois, I thought Illinois was going to stomp them.
I know.
And then the opposite happened. So I started paying attention to the guy. Mm. And he does what you want to see a quarterback do on the field and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then the run that he had through the college football playoff, every single game that I saw Indiana play, I never thought that they would be able to step up and do what they did. So he continued to prove me wrong all through the season. And I can't say anything bad about the guy because he continued to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So do I think he's the number one overall draft pick in this draft class? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But we put such a premium on the quarterback position, and you guys have a need that really kind of makes or breaks how your franchise is going to play for the next 5-10 years. And you're right. I'd rather see you guys with the first overall pick next season than this season.
Yeah.
But there's something that just this kid continues to prove people wrong. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be interested to see what he does in the offseason after getting drafted as the number one overall pick. It's a good thing he's out west and not on the East Coast, like with the Jets, because the media will get on him for every little thing. It's not going to be the same out west in Las Vegas. Yeah, there's going to be an expectation because he's number one overall pick. It's just different out west versus out east. And he's going to have an opportunity to, because they brought Kurt in, he doesn't have to be the guy on day one. So there's a lot. He's being set up for success.
Yeah.
And he's going to have all the opportunity in the world and all the chances in the world to earn being that first round pick and to continue to prove people wrong like he did through college. So until he does something that can make me not shut up, you know, right now he's got my mouth shut. I can't talk one way or the other about the kid because he continues to prove me wrong.
You know, honestly, I'm the same way, man. I'm the same way. I saw the buzz for Mendoza during the offseason, right? And everybody said, you know, they want to see it look like a Indiana. And, you know, he had the first two games where they're against, like, Georgia School of the Deaf. And, you know what I mean? Right, he threw like 6 touchdowns. I was like, oh, whatever. You know, I went to the Illinois game too. Like, okay, yeah, here you go. This is the game where we see Indiana, we see how good Mendoza is. But then he goes like 21 or 24 or 5 touchdowns in that game. You know, and then, you know, I thought he had some issues against like Iowa and Penn State a little bit. So kind of like, okay, is he really worth the number one pick in the draft? But I thought as the year went along, right, he got better. You know, and that's what I talk about a lot is that, yeah, you know, you hear Darren Lofsky talk about this. Well, the first 8 games, Ty Simpson, you know, and there is some, you know, validity to that Ty Simpson did have a great start to the season where, you know, when I was talking about, you know, these drafting guys, that I would have maybe had Simpson over Mendoza at maybe some point, like maybe like week 6 of the college season, right? Week 6 of the college season, Simpson's the Vanderbilt film. And his film against Wisconsin and his film against somebody else. It's some damn good film, Chris. He has some damn good film in those games, right? He just fell off. right? And the thing is,
I'll tell you exactly why. When we get to our Ty Simpson part of this conversation, we will go over exactly why he fell off.
100%.
But I see what you're saying. I can see what you're saying.
So when you compare that, but is this Mendoza really separated himself? And I feel like he separated himself from V from a lot of prospects. Is that, you know, when the lights got brighter, the things I didn't like about him on film disappeared.
Yep.
And that is, to me, that's a huge thing to me. I think that shows that he has intangibles. One, that shows that he knows what's wrong with him. A lot of self-awareness. He knows that it just tells me, like, watching him get better throughout the year tells me that he is going to continue to get better, right? Yeah. He's going to continue to learn on offense. He's going to continue to grow. He's going to continue working on his accuracy. He's going to continue to working on how he reads things pro snap. He's going to watch more film. He's going to understand how teams are attacking him, right? And, you know, because his worst game on film, a lot of people don't talk about this. So that's why I'm surprised Dan Orlovsky hasn't done it. Because if you wanted to slander Mendoza, you just got to pull up that Purdue game, man. I don't know if you ever watched it against Purdue. He was, and, you know, a lot of Raiders fans, you know, I haven't really talked about this too much openly, but, like, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, are you okay in the cold? But that's a secret, you know, maybe a thing, you know, but they're in Las Vegas, it's a home, you know, and they're in the West, but, like, Arrowhead, and, you know, Kansas City, they're building a dome. They're getting rid of Arrowhead, right? I mean, you know, right? We're getting less and less domes.
There's a lot setting this boy up for success. There's a lot setting him up for success.
Maybe Denver, and you know, but you know, you usually play Denver in September. Usually, you know, so. But I mean, that was his worst game. Like, nobody talks about that game. It's so weird to me. Like, we talk about, like, oh, dude, he did this game and he stats against, like, but his worst, he was like 8 for 15, and like. It was, it's really bad decisions everywhere, because Purdue was doing all this crazy stuff. Like, Purdue would have like a safety, like, playing at middle linebacker. He would drop all the way into like cover two. It was like crazy. Purdue was like, you're going to be able to run the ball on us and we're going to stop Mendoza. And they did a great job of it. But even then, Alabama tried to do the same thing though. And he picked them apart. And that's when I was like, you know what? See? That's one issue I have with you. I guess that's gone.
You nailed it with him being self-aware. You can tell that he spent time breaking down the film and looking back at what he did previously and consciously making the effort to fix those mistakes. So he continues to do things that make him worthy of the pick that they're going to use on him, and he continues to shut everybody up.
All right, Chris, let's get to the tough questions here that have the fans yell at us here. Cam Ward, Mendoza.
Mendoza.
Okay, all right. Mendoza. This is a good one. Mendoza, Drake May.
I was not high on Drake coming out.
I know you were, but...
I'm going with Mendoza. I think New England got away with murder this season. Just absolute murder.
I would go Drake May, because I think Drake May is just talent wise, about the same size. Drake May is like 6'4", 225 too, so he's got a good size. 6'4", 230. He's got a bigger arm, and just a little bit there. But I think as a quarterback refinement, I think Mendoza is a better quarterback coming out. I think May is a better quarterback prospect, if that makes sense.
I think we're going to see a fall off in this season coming up.
Oh yeah, because he has Josh McDaniels. And come on, Josh McDaniels here too? I mean, I know what Josh McDaniels is going to do with the 50. If I get to the 50, they're running a trick play. I know that. Like, and they do it every time, Chris. I'm telling you, watch Patriots game and Josh McDaniels, and they're at the 50-yard line, you're going to see a flea flicker. They did in the Super Bowl. It's like a thing that he does. It's the same flea flicker they always run. They did it against the damn Broncos. I was like, how does nobody not know this is coming? Like, how do you – if I know this is coming, I'm thinking flea flicker, and it's the same damn flea flicker that he's been running since 07. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, there's Adams. Adams was on the post there, and then there's Matt Collins underneath. Oh, it's Matt Collins underneath again, but this time it's Diggs on the post.
I think we're gonna see.
And there's all the shit with Vrabel, anyways. Like, it's they got.
Yeah, there's gonna be. This is not gonna be a good year for New England. They won the close ones last year. They had the road kind of paved for them.
Yeah.
They're not making the playoffs. I'll go that far. Okay. I'll go that far.
I think it's more about Vrabel and his little issues too, but you know, we won't get into that. Yeah. But yeah, man. But yeah, I mean, that's Mendoza for the most part. I mean, Mendoza's a stud. I really like Mendoza, but yeah. I think a lot of people would like feel bothered if you say he's better than Cam Ward. But I agree with that. I do. But Drake Mays, I think 2024 is when it gets interesting. Where he would go there. That's where the interesting conversation. But I think he's a great quarterback prospect. Just when you go through the overall season, right? But yeah. But the next guy.
Because Mendoza continues to just figure it out and find a way to make it work. You can tell he's paying attention in the classroom. He's watching film. He's breaking things down on a weekly basis. I think he's putting more effort in there than someone like Cam Ward, who can do it just based off of pure athleticism. I don't think Cam's gotten to that place where he is giving equal time to that part of the game that he gives to his just raw ability.
Yeah, I agree with that, dude. I agree. Ty Simpson, right? We talked about it a little earlier with Dan Orlovsky and him and the ESPN marketing team. Working together to push Ty Simpson. We talked about that. I still believe Ty Simpson goes 16. I'm telling you, that's my shot. And part of the reason is Dan Orlovsky, because you know, I said this on the other podcast that, you know, Woody Johnson is a sucker for ESPN. You know, like, he probably is watching ESPN in the morning, watching Get Up, you know, right before his morning. What, I don't know what the Overs people do in the morning. Whatever rich people do in the morning, I don't know.
I love morning how coffee. He's spending more time trying to get rid of these NFLPA report cards than he is to actually make improvements to the organization so that his grade would get better. He wants to get rid of the grading instead.
Yeah, and he has a lot of sway. You know what I mean? Like, if he wants Ty Simpson, they're driving Ty Simpson, right? Orlovsky loves him. Orlovsky, you see this? I don't know.
That boy, he has no reason going in the first round. There's zero reason to put that quarterback in the first round.
So, Joe, what are your thoughts on Ty Simpson? What are your thoughts?
He doesn't have enough snaps.
Number one.
Period. He didn't have enough snaps to do anything special in the college football. He definitely, like you said, at the beginning of the season, he put some good tape out there. But because he put the tape out there, now teams had something to look at and to actually play against, and that's what caused the decline throughout the year. When you are finally getting your tendencies put on tape, you have to overcome that. He has not had enough time playing the quarterback position to still get all of his tendencies on tape, and that probably helped kind of take them into the college football playoff. Wait, they weren't in the playoff, were they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they won a game.
Was it last year they didn't make it?
Yeah, last year. Last year they didn't make it. Yeah, this year they made it. And then, he had a good game against Oklahoma. Which kind of got his buzz back. But then he went in against Indiana. He played terrible. But he was terrible. He was terrible in the SEC championship game.
And I think that you saw the defenses look at the tape and they were playing tendencies, and he's doesn't have enough snaps underneath his belt or the experience necessary to overcome the changes that are made to go up against his tendencies. So there's not enough snaps for him. He's too raw. I would have stayed another year on an NIL deal if I was him. If you felt that good that you're going to go out as an NFL prospect, he's going to make less money on his rookie deal than he would have stuck around if he would have stuck around at Bama. Like, I don't know if there's somebody coming through the ranks that he thought he was going to lose the job, and he's going going to take this opportunity to go to the NFL. He needs more work. Period. He's not a first round talent, and if he gets in somewhere, he's not going to see the field. Who are you going to put him in over? You have to basically say Geno Smith is going to completely shit the bed.
I mean, the Jets are kind of like the Raiders, man. Is there anything rational, Chris? Like, you're being too rational with this. Like, this is the Jets.
Well, I've always been too rational about the quarterback play. The NFL, you're right. They're not rational about it. And he's going to get picked in the first round, and he shouldn't be picked in the first round. And they're going to put him out there, and he's not ready for it. And he will be gone faster than I can't even remember what the kid's name was that was at BYU.
And the thing is with the starts is, like, the main reason for the starts is, like, we can go over this. I mean, Carson Beck in 2024, if he came out in 2024 with that class, with Jaden Daniels and all those guys, he would have been in that conversation after the year he played, the way he played at Georgia, right? But, you know, a lot of people talk about his arm injury, but that didn't happen to the end of the year in Georgia when he had that arm injury, so he doesn't have that big arm anymore right now, which I think he can still work on that. It's probably going to come back eventually. He's still young. I mean, it's not like that one arm injury. It's going to take a little bit to recover, but it's going to come back, that arm talent. He was so terrible in 2024 for Georgia. He was just, I mean, he was low key awful with the interceptions and stuff like that. But that's what I mean. If you took him after 2024, though, he will go. He has some pretty damn good film that year. He would have went first round. But the thing is, that year he had Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers in 2024. And then, you know, you don't have those two anymore, right? It's a little tougher. And then you go to Miami, he still has some good players around him. He kind of just played game manager. So
yes, he did.
That's the thing with Ty Simpson. It's like, sure, this was a good year this year, but does it just all fall apart if he played another year of college football the next year? That's why it's important for these guys to have multiple years of starting and multiple years of film, because as I'm saying, like Cade Klubnik last year, if he comes out, he probably goes first round because he had a big year with Clemson, threw 36 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, all this other stuff. And then he comes back, and it, you know what I mean? And now he might go fourth round. That's what I mean. You know, that's why you got to have these starts with these guys, because this is the quarterback. This is not wide receiver. It's not anything like that.
No, it's such an important position. You gotta spend the time. You gotta get the snaps. You gotta get the experience. You gotta get the looks. You gotta get the consistency. It's completely and totally necessary. And now with NIL, there's literally no reason for a quarterback to come out early anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was very happy Dante Moore, because Dante Moore is the same issue, just having no starts.
That was the smartest decision ever. Yeah, you might have gone number two overall, but he doesn't have the snaps either.
Yeah, he doesn't. So, and then once you have those snaps, I mean, that just makes it – it just gives you that something to build on, man. And then you might have a bigger year than the year before. But then he's saying, but if he falls off, that's why you got to have those snaps. Because if you fall off, then you know what I'm saying? Like, it's important to make sure you have those snaps, because like you see it all the time, man. These quarterbacks that have these big years, right? My favorite one of all time, though. My favorite quarterback of all time, who needed more. Who, if they would have came out when they're after the big year they had, was Logan Thomas. You remember Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I remember Logan Thomas at Virginia.
Do you remember the buzz he had going in?
Tight end instead.
Do you remember the buzz he had going into like his junior year after that his bowl game against Michigan?
Yeah.
People were like, oh my God, this guy is, because he's like 6'5", 250 with a cannon.
He was huge.
Huge, right?
He was like Dante Culpepper 2.0.
Through the roof, the buzz for him. And you know what I mean? Like that's why these things are important. It really is. Because like
You want to have some success in the NFL, you got to play 2, 3, 4 seasons in college. You have to.
You got to have the drop. You got to have the throws and all that stuff, man. You got to make sure that you have those plays. All right. So, I mean, the rest of this class is really not that big. You know, I am a big Cole Payton truther. I don't know if you're
referring to Cole Payton. Not even half buzzworthy. Like, well, these kids are going to go day 3, day 4.
You know, I think Cole Payton sneaks into day 2. So is Drew Aller. I think Drew Aller does too, because you know, so Drew Aller is so big, and you know, people are trying to convince themselves that Drew Aller is a first round pick for all the years he's been starting. People have been trying to convince themselves of that just because how big he is and his arm talent, even though he has this huge arm but doesn't throw the ball past 20 yards. You know, I feel like that's a mindset, in my opinion, to have that big of an arm and and not be aggressive.
Do you think he was getting just cussed at in practice though for that? Like, was he getting ripped apart in practice and being forced to be gun shy?
See, this is why he goes. This exact question is why he goes day two, Chris. That exact question you asked. You're a quarterback coach in a draft room. You're the quarterback coach in the draft room. Like, I don't know, man. Is it James Franklin? I talked to some of the guys down there, and they're saying that he would be aggressive, a little bit more aggressive in practice than he was in the See? And then there he goes. He's going
and
at
then
40.
Boom, second round pick. You're not wrong. It's going to happen. There's 32 teams, man. There's 32 teams that'll make that decision.
You know, like I said, I'm a Cole Payton truther from North Dakota State. That would have been like if Mendoza wasn't coming out. Oh, that's what I wanted the Raiders to draft, probably, but like not in the first round or anything like that. Because he had a run, but then like he got in the playoffs and he had one of the worst films I've ever seen against Southern Illinois. So that's when he kind of fell off. But he had a good Senior Bowl and he's kind of built his buzz a little bit. And he ran a 4.5. He's just a tough player. He's from North Dakota State. I really like him. And then like well, there's Nussmeier, who I was a big Nussmeier fan coming into this year, which kind of proves my point again. I was on the Nuss bus, Chris. I was a big Garrett Nussmeier guy going into this year. Anybody who watches TDO, or especially Friday Night Live, they know that I was expecting him. If you just told me in July, I would have thought that he would be the number one guy coming out. Like
He just didn't take it to the next level, huh?
He said he got hurt, right? I guess he got hurt or something like that. That's what people are saying, because he looked at the Senior Bowl. He kind of looked a little bit like he did last year. But this past year, I think he kind of fell off a little bit. So it's Nussmeier, and then, you know, who else? I mean, Kate Klubnik has some, I don't know. It's just really nothing.
Disappointing. You know,
like Chris Sims. Chris Sims' list was hilarious, though. He had, like, Baron Morton at, like, QB3. I was like, bro, Baron Morton, dog. Really? Come on, Chris. Like, you're not fooling me with this trolling this year. You can't. This is pure trolling, dog. Like, no. Baron Morton? Really? Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
It'll be interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Any last thoughts, man, you can talk about? I guess maybe you do this, next week. Talk about Jalen Hurts. Everybody hating Jalen Hurts a little bit more.
When is A.J. Brown going to not be in Philadelphia anymore? When's that going to happen, huh?
Jalen Brown is pushing these reports. I swear to God he is. It's Jalen Brown, man. He's pushing all these reports out there. He is an anonymous source. Every time you see
AJ's the anonymous source.
He's changing plays in the huddle, man. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to – listen, what have I been saying about Jalen about every time that we talk about the guy? He doesn't want to throw the ball downfield. Doesn't want to do it.
I don't know, man. It's just.
But you know what? My Packers, we're going to have a get back offseason here. We got rid of a lot of people that were making noise in the building. And we only want people that are going to be there that want to be there. Fleecing the Cowboys for a fourth round pick when we were going to literally cut the biggest waste of space in the entire world. I'm so happy to see Rashawn Gary no longer a Packer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Good. Gary's a decent player. He's a solid player. He's solid.
He wasn't worth the money they paid him. So, especially when you're watching Michael Parsons come from the other side of the field and literally run a circle around Gary and then keep going.
Parsons is different. Rushing the passer, Parsons is different, though. Okay. Like, he's.
It just really, really opens your eyes on the amount of effort that guy was given.
Yeah, Parsons.
We want some effort players on the field. We don't want guys that are just taking a paycheck.
You know, I have my questions about Parsons as a run defender, but like,
He looked good against the run.
He did. He looked a lot better this year. I think he took it a little more serious. I think it was just Dallas. I don't know. I don't know what that's about, but.
Yeah, he knew he had a chance to win the Super Bowl finally, so he took it seriously. Oh,
that's what it is. All right, Chris. Any last thoughts, man, before we get out of here?
I'm happy we're back, Marcus. We got the draft. I don't think we're going to go crazy here leading up through the offseason. I think we'll put a few of these out every once in a while. We're going to get your 1 through 32.
I'm starting working on that. Right now,
get your 1 through 32.
It's that's better than watching the rest of these drafts.
The off season here, we'll recap what happened in the draft, and then you best get ready for a full season from a little Alpa here.
Yeah,
now I'm in Arizona. Maybe you'll see a different version of how we run the
show. Yeah, we're trying to get this live. I'm really trying to set this up. That's why I really want to get it. I want to get this live. I want to do that. It's my goal. So hopefully by the season we can have that set up where we can do this live, like it's
perfect.
How the couch guys do it. You know, we're on the couch, just talking shit. Basically, like the Raw. I don't know if you see that podcast, the Raw Room. I don't know what the with Bates and Jalen Mills and DJ Flunker when they're just on the couch.
Oh yeah. All the couches.
Yeah, that's my goal. So you got to figure that out. But we'll get that. We'll get
that. That's what's going on.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. So we are out of here. I hope you guys enjoy this. Make sure you always hit the subscribe button. Check out all the draft stuff we do. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Right here. Peace.